Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. We are all gods and goddesses. If you can die, you're a god or a goddess in the making. Through the process of reincarnation, after this life, there's another life. Believe it. So, just like Joel Osteen starts his sermon, his congregation going with pick up your Bible and say it like you mean it. And he recites those words. Everybody repeat after me, please. All this life here on earth, over a million types of insects, thousands of types of fish, birds, reptiles, amphibians, mammals, not to mention trees and flowers, fruits and vegetables, if all that happened by accident, it could happen by accident elsewhere in the universe. That's logical. But if there is a creator who's powerful and knowledgeable enough to create all that life, then logically that creator is powerful and knowledgeable enough to create either the same or different lives anywhere, anywhere, and I do mean anywhere in the universe. We are not alone, my friends, and tonight is a very special night. Besides the fact that Joe Biden will be talking tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm very happy, regardless that I voted for Mr. Trump, and I think I told you. You listened to my last show. I did tell you, actually, that I voted for him for a couple of main reasons. One was because I thought he'd been treated unfairly right from the very beginning, even before he was inaugurated. They said they were going to impeach him. I thought, you know, give the man a chance. But it wasn't to be that way. And also, I thought he did some good things. He put some money in my pocket, so I voted for him. But my second choice won. Joe Biden was my second choice. And so Kamala Harris, I'm so thrilled that she's going to be the first female vice president. And a black female vice president, too. I voted for Hillary back in 2016 because I wanted to see a female president, the first in the United States. And I thought female leadership will help make the world a better place because with all the killing and wars we've had in the past, right? I think more female leadership will prevent that, and there'll be peace. It's possible to have peace in our lifetimes, my friends. Don't stop believing in that. What I was going to say is that tonight is a special night because between 9 and 12 p.m., it's requested that you go outside and look at the stars up there in the sky. And by the way, have you seen my website on BBS Radio? My website? You ought to check out my website. My picture of me, my face, and the stars in the background and the sun. And it says, Gods and Goddesses, and smaller writing, we are co-creator gods in the making. We are. There's no doubt about it in my mind. But anyway, those stars up there are actually suns. Entire solar systems. It's just that our scientists and astronomers haven't come out and said, yes, every single one in the sky is a separate solar system in and of itself. But tonight, between 9 and 12, it's requested by the great Dr. Stephen Greer, who is a wonderful man, who's helping to bring contact between the species that are out there. And believe me, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of different types of beings just like us out there. The universe is teeming with life. That's logical. I already told you that there is life out there. I proved it to you through logic. And they're just waiting for us to make our moves through evolution to the point where they could feel safe not having to come down here and be shot at, you know, right? But between 9 and 12 p.m., if you could please go out and look at the stars, just think of universal brotherhood and sisterhood and friendship and love. Oh, these beings out there, they will blow your mind. I mean, we've seen fantasy movies like Star Trek, Star Wars. I don't like the word Star Wars. War. Any anything with the word war in it. No thanks. Dying is very painful, especially when you don't have to. There's no really logical reason to die. Yes, because we can resolve our differences diplomatically. We can talk. Taking away someone's life is not worth it. Just think of all the people that could have still been alive that were killed in war and fighting. I'll bet if you went into the spirit realm and asked them, do you think that your death was in vain? It was not for a good reason. I'll bet every single one of them would say, yes, I agree. I would want to live. I would like to get back on Earth and live. That's why I was born there. And this planet is of a lower evolutionary category. You know, we are going through those preliminary steps in our evolution, except for the advanced souls or intermediate souls who come here to help others. Now, I think actually that there's a lot of old souls here on Earth helping out. Jesus was an old soul. He came here to help save the world, and what he did, the vibrations, the reverberations are still going on strong since over 2,000 years ago, what he did, those miracles that he performed. I think as a society, as a civilization, it would be good to focus and concentrate on those miracles that Jesus performed and contemplate on them. Know that they weren't put in there by fantasy. For fantasy, some people who made it up for whatever reason, did they really happen? That alone could fill, just like Jesus said to John at the end of the Gospel of John, that all the books in the library could not contain the information that could explain the nature of those miracles, what went into each one of them to make them happen. I know we don't give it much thought. I think most of us believe that they did happen, but as far as thinking how exactly they happened, I've talked about this on previous shows before. It's true. Those miracles did happen. Now, Muhammad, as great a man as he was, a beautiful man with a mission from God, no doubt. Buddha, also gifted, a very old soul. Vishnu, also, these old souls that have come to Earth in the past to help our evolution. The miracles of Jesus, no one performed those miracles. And it's something that we can study, think about. Jesus died on the cross. Some people like to think that he died for our sins. Well, I personally don't believe that. I think what's more important is he died to be resurrected. See what I mean? He had to die in order to be resurrected, to be brought back to life. Very simple. Logical. Nothing, no hidden meanings there. He had to be resurrected. So that was the greatest miracle of all. Even raising Lazarus from the dead was nothing compared to Jesus being brought back to life himself. And he told his disciples, they're going to kill me. And the typical way of execution back in those days was the cross. But he said, I'll be raised up from the dead in 3 days. And just as he said, it happened. And then he walked around for like 40 days, right? Amazing. Oh, if I could only go back in time and see some of the people's faces when they saw him alive after he'd been killed on the cross. So these beings out there, I was telling you, these extraterrestrial beings, their souls too. You know, their spirits and souls inhabit these physical bodies, which are usually indigenous to some planet and its atmosphere, either in the Milky Way galaxy or any other galaxy out there. They're made specifically to withstand atmospheric conditions on their planet. Not every planet out there is like planet Earth, but it is beautiful and wonderfully created in its own right. Just amazing what the Creator has done. The intelligence, think of the intelligence and the power, the magical kind of creation power that the Creator of the universe has. Magic, when you think of magic, the Creator invented the word magic. There would be no magic without the Creator of the universe, the master of the universe, male and female, who created the Big Bang. And then all the solar systems began to form. And then after so many solar systems, a galaxy was formed. And then a new galaxy began forming, one solar system after another. But anyway, go out there tonight and just take a chair. I'll try to do the same. I've got a chair out there in my backyard, and I haven't really sat down and done this. I've been meaning to. We have a dog. She likes to go out there and sit on this chair we've got for her in the backyard, and she'll bark. And it gets a little bit cold right now. It's a little bit cool. The sun's gone down here in San Antonio. But if you do a little research on Dr. Stephen Greer, he had an encounter with an extraterrestrial at least once. And he is the leader of the Disclosure Project to try to get not only the U.S. government, but other governments around the world to come out of the closet, so to speak, about extraterrestrials, UFOs, flying saucers, abductions. It's really going on. Just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean it's real. It isn't real, I mean. Just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean it isn't real. But as I explained, you know, life, it's out there. It's logical. It could happen. If all this happened by accident, it could happen by accident elsewhere. And you know that the Kepler telescope is discovering new planets all the time. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that they've discovered. Some, they say, are even Earth-like, you know, able to allow human beings to survive on, you know, with the right amounts of nitrogen, oxygen in the atmosphere, water on the planet, you know. So, my friends, today I was driving down the road. I like to roll my windows down, and I went to the track. I like to go to the track and do a little walking and running, and I was thinking on the way back, a lot of people, I see people always keep their windows closed. I do sometimes, but most of the times I keep my windows open, even just a little bit, you know, because we need oxygen and nitrogen to have our bodies perform optimally, you know, to function optimally. And it seems that a lot of us are depriving ourselves of the correct amounts of oxygen and nitrogen. I would estimate that anywhere from 25 to 50% of one's oxygen is taken away when you roll the windows up and rely on your air conditioning. Your air conditioning is drawing air from the outside of the car, and that air is not the same as the outside air. About 25 to 50% deprived of the oxygen and nitrogen levels of air when you go outside. And especially during a global pandemic, our oxygen and nitrogen intake should be of paramount importance, don't you think? I know it is noisy out there, but crack your windows, my friends. That's just a little bit of advice. You don't have to follow it, because I know you like doing things your own way. Although, remember, when you were young, how you were told to do things in school by your parents. The first day your dad or your mom helped you to ride a bicycle, you were getting advice, guidance from them. But I think some people, when they reach a certain age, they just close their minds and think, I'm going to do this my way. I don't need your help. Well, I think it's important to keep an open mind because the learning never stops. As intelligent as you may think you are, more knowledge is accessible. And this life is a journey. As long as we're blessed to be alive on this planet, we can continue to learn and have open minds and learn new things, have different perspectives and views, because we are all in this together, all brothers and sisters in spirit, human beings, whether Democrats or Republicans. And I'm so impressed about the election, talking about that now. As I mentioned, I voted for Mr. Trump, but I voted for Hillary back in 2016, and I'm very happy for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I see all the celebration that's going on in the streets, the cities, and the United States, and that's a wonderful thing. Let's all be happy about that. For those that who voted for Mr. Trump, I recommend, I suggest that you go with the flow. Don't harbor that anger inside. Instead, embrace this higher principle of democracy where a majority of the Americans, the country that you're living in, have voted democratically, like they do every 4 years, for someone they think is better, more suited to the job of president, more capable, more friendly. And you have to admit that Mr. Trump was saying some mean things at times, calling people crazy, sleepy Joe. I personally would never say that to someone. And Mr. Trump should have known better. You know, you just can't bully your way through life because you have billions of dollars, you know. And don't get me wrong, I love Mr. Trump. I respect him, but he's very hard-headed, stubborn, likes to do things his way, doesn't listen to a lot of advice from very knowledgeable and rational people. And now he's going to go back to doing what he did before. Oh, yes, I understand there are some legal challenges out there, but, you know, the mail-in voting is what he lost. That was a strategic mistake on his behalf. He said, don't go by the way of mailing in your votes. Well, let me rephrase that. Don't cast your mail-in votes. Go to the voting polls, places, and vote that way. And he should have foreseen that. That was such an incredible thing for the Democrats, how they outnumbered the Republican voters with the mail-in voting. And a strategic mistake on Mr. Trump's behalf. He could have changed things. He could have said, no, let's stop the mail-in voting. People, you know, they're safe enough to go to a polling place with a mask on, you know, and somewhat reasonable social distancing, and that would be the only place to place your vote, or except for absentee ballots, but usually the military, right? But no, he didn't pursue that. And so he got fooled. He got beaten at his own game, so to speak. He didn't see that coming. He did very well with the people that went and voted in person, but the mail-in votes, I think the ratio in favor of Mr. Biden over Mr. Trump was like 3-1 or 4-1. So, Mr. Trump, your strategy cost you the election. And one thing I also noticed, and now this is me personally with what I believe. I saw some of the rallies that he gave the last few days, and I admire his endurance and his stamina, especially after contracting the coronavirus himself, you know, how he endured that and his strength, how he talked to all those people for hours. Not an easy thing to do. But, and I've seen him give speeches before. One thing I noticed in the last few days before the election, when he was giving these speeches at different places around the country, is that he wouldn't end his speech with, "May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America." He stopped doing that. And I think all he said was, "Go out and vote." And that was how he ended his rally. And then also with the song by the Village People, YMCA. I'm sorry. If you had asked me for advice as to what song to play at the end of your rally, Mr. Trump, I wouldn't have said the YMCA by the Village People. I'm sorry, that's kind of like an out-of-touch reality. But the point I was making was, you're not going to win anything without God's support. And if you're not courageous and brave enough to say those magic words, and may God bless you, may God bless the United States of America, then you're going to lose. Joe Biden was doing that. He said, what does he say usually? May God bless you and may God protect our troops. I'm cool with that. You know, that's all right. But Mr. Trump, you can't think that you're bigger than God. God, the creator, mother and father God, the supreme creator of the universe, all gods, gods. You're a God in the making. When I say God, I mean either mother and father God or father God or mother God or the supreme creator, the master of the universe, God. They're gods. We are gods. Apprentices, co-creator God, apprentices, co-creator God, apprentices. But you can't forget to say stuff like that. God has blessed the United States of America from the very beginning. And God will only continue to bless the United States of America if you ask him to. He, she, ask him, her to. So, I'm sorry for Mr. Trump. You know, that's what happens when you have winners and losers, my friends. You know, losing hurts. Winning's great. Yeah, it shouldn't be that way. I think we need to change our mindset somehow where, like with me, here in my house, they watch CNN. I mean, my wife, she's African-American, and my stepdaughter, African-American, of course. They live here. I've got three grandchildren. And they watch CNN all day. They're staunch Democrats. I usually have been voting Democrat in the past. I voted for Clinton, I think, if my memory serves me correct, for his two terms. George Bush, no, I voted for Al Gore and then John Kerry. And then I voted for Obama twice. And I voted for Hillary Clinton. But I voted this time for Mr. Trump, and I explained my reasons why. But as I told my wife, I love Joe and Kamala. They were my second choice. I just picked my favorite, you know. So I don't feel so bad. Yeah, I mean, you get that initial, those pangs somewhere deep inside, I don't know where you feel, oh, dang, I lost. You know, I don't like losing. Who does like losing? I think, what was that song by Michael Jackson, Beat It? No one wants to be defeated. Yeah, no one does. So let me, we're going to sing a little song to try to cheer up all the Trump supporters out there, if you're listening. And that goes, I just want to celebrate. Just want to celebrate. Put my faith in the people, but the people let me down. So I turned the other way and I carried on anyhow. That's what I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. Another day of living. Yeah. I just want to celebrate another day of living. Have my hand on a dollar bill, and the dollar bill blew away. But the sun is shining down on me, and it's here to stay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I'm telling you. I just want to celebrate. Yeah, yeah. Another day of living. Yeah. I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Don't let it all get you down, oh no. Don't let it turn you around and around and around and around. And then the last verse goes, well, I ain't got time for sorrow, and I ain't got time for hate. I'm using up my time by feeling fine every day. Yay, yay. That's why I'm telling you, I just want to celebrate. Yeah, people, celebrate another day of living. Don't worry about losing. Just celebrate another day of being alive in the moment, because in a second you could be dead. Who knows? Maybe an asteroid's coming towards Earth. Don't want to scare you, but that's a possibility. It's happened before in the past. Or you get in your car, drive down the road. I mean, you never know. It's happened before. There's a sign driving down the roads here, just around the corner from my house. It says 3,000 people have died so far this year on Texas roads. Not to mention all the other states and around the world. So celebrate another day of living, another day of life. Don't worry. Be happy. La, 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 la. I voted for Mr. Trump, but I'm still happy. I'm happy for Mr. Biden and Miss Kamala Harris. I think they're wonderful. I love everybody. Anyway, hope you don't think I was getting a little silly there. So, yeah, we need God to continue to bless the United States of America. You can't forget to leave God out. And I heard him saying that before, you know. Mr. Trump was using that, but I guess maybe I'm just guessing. When he got the coronavirus, he thought, now that was a mean thing to happen. Why did that have to happen to me? I was doing so well. Actually, you know, during that first debate, he looked like he was feeling bad, like he was, you know, his health was suffering at the time. That's what I thought. He was just, they were both of them going at it. Anyway, so tonight between 9 and 12, what else can I talk about? I've written some things down. Today I went to the track. I've talked about this before. What I like doing is walking and running. And I like to get a little bit of running in each day. You know, I'm 66, so I can't do the amount of running I used to do before. But I like to do a little bit. Why? Because it gets my heart going. You know, the experts recommend that you get your heart rate up to a certain amount. And running will do that. You don't have to do a lot. In fact, I mentioned this on a previous show before. You can, like, if you walk a mile, say, you can incorporate a little run, maybe 100 yards, you know, just 100 yards during a mile walk. And maybe if you go more than 1 mile, 2 miles, then do another 100-yard run. It doesn't have to be fast, you know, just easy pace. Or if you want to sprint, that's okay, too. See your doctor, though, you know, if you're going to sprint. Don't take my word for it. I don't want to get you in trouble, you know. So I'm just saying sprinting is a good thing. Every once in a while, I'll sprint, although I've been keeping my pace down recently. Today, I didn't run so fast, about 50% power. You know, I like the walk-run method by Jeff Galloway. And check this out on the Internet, Jeff Galloway, G-A-L-L-O-W-A-Y. And he is the guru, if you will, of the walk-run method or the run-walk method. And he's run like 200 marathons. And what he'll do is he'll walk, start out walking for 30 seconds and run for 30 seconds. He'll do a whole marathon that way. Walk for 30 seconds, run for 30 seconds. And that equals about maybe 100, 150 yards running anyway, walking, maybe not about 50 yards. But I like to do the 100-yard walk and 100-yard run. And that works for me pretty well. And I don't go full speed when I do run. Today, like I said, only about 50% power. And you get the benefits of running. And the walking, what it does, it helps your body to not be so stiff. It helps the joints. When you, instead of running continuously, you know, without stopping, and then if you do that, afterwards you might feel stiffness in your joints, you know, in your knees and your back. But the walk run is supposed to prevent that. Plus, one thing I've been doing too, it's been getting cold here. I was taking cold showers before. Now, before you laugh at me or, you know, say something, of course, you know, I can't hear you, but the thing about cold showers, and here in Texas, South Texas, it gets pretty hot. So during the day, you know, when you're sweating, it's good to take a cold shower. But now it's getting cooler, getting down into the 50s, high upper 40s. And now it's not so easy to take cold showers, especially, you know, at nighttime before bed. But one thing I've been doing, and I've been experimenting with this over the years, is what they call the contrast shower. It's hot and cold. You start out hot and you end cold. Again, don't do this without checking with your physician, please. I'm just saying this is what I've been doing. And check it out on the internet, contrast showers, the benefits. It's supposed to help with your metabolism, circulation, breathing. It's good for the muscles. You know, the hot water relaxes the muscles. The cold is good for the skin and the hair. It's good for testosterone. And it challenges you, too. It challenges someone to turn the water faucet to cold, you know, after you've been in a hot shower. It's good for the heart, too, they say. You've heard about the people who do what they call the polar plunges, the polar bear plunges. They'll get hot, really hot, in, like, a sauna. They really believe in it strongly in the Scandinavian countries, you know, in Europe, where it gets really cold in the wintertime. They'll have a sauna, like on a lake, and they'll cut a hole in the ice, and they take what they call a polar bear plunge. So they'll sit in the sauna and get all hot and steamy and sweaty, and then go outside and jump into this 35-degree water. And, I mean, it literally takes the breath out of you. It's that cold. And if you're not in control of yourself or don't know what to expect, I mean, you can have a heart attack or even, you know, drown. But they do that. It's supposed to be good for the heart. I think contrast showers are good in that respect. They help. I mean, they do that also. Again, check with your physician because I don't want to give you some bad information. It's been working for me. I feel good, you know, less aches and pains. But I've been really doing this on and off throughout the years. And one reason I've stopped doing the contrast showers in the past, and it might have been because of the water softener I had, I started getting these bumps in my skin. It's true. And so regardless of the benefits I was receiving, I stopped doing it and did only cold showers. Oh, I've tried warm showers. I've tried cool showers. It's been like a matter of obsession for me at times, you know, because you can see the research there on the internet. There's a lot of it. People who have lived in the world throughout the past have been firm believers in cold showers. You know, before our modern-day civilization incorporated water heaters into society, it was something that people had to do, or let me rephrase that, people had to heat up their water in order to bathe so that they wouldn't have to endure the cold water. You know that. I mean, 200 years ago today, there was no such thing as a water heater, especially in you know, centuries in the past. And the benefits of cold water are many. So I've been taking a lot of cold showers in the past, but now it sure is nice to, I kind of miss this, you know, because I'm only just started doing it recently over the last several years, and I'm 66 years old. But my mother, before she died, she had, at 81 years old, she had kind of like mostly black hair on her head. There's very few gray hairs. What she used to do was, she told me, always rinse your hair with cold or cool water. And she would wash her hair under the sink. She just liked to do that, I guess. Because she probably didn't like feeling the cold water on her body under the shower. But anyway, so her hair had very little gray hair in it. And that could be attributed to the cool water, to rinse, which really does a better job of rinsing the soap and shampoo off your body. That's another fact, too, that you can research if you're interested. So how am I doing on time here? 6:37. Well, it sure is a beautiful evening. I'm looking forward to listening to Joe. He's going to be talking here in just about 20 minutes. I mentioned to you before, my favorite book is Abduction to the Ninth Planet. And let me just, I'll just pick anywhere to read. I haven't got anything else to say right now on the top of my mind, off my head, so to speak. So I've done a little reading before, and then I'll just pick somewhere from my favorite book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, also known as Thiaouba, Thiaouba, The Golden Planet, which is a planet in our Milky Way galaxy inhabited by some extraterrestrial beings who are 9 feet tall. Oh, yes, it's true. Guess what? The Creator can create anything, anywhere. Anything, anywhere. So I first picked up this book around 1998, 1999, and I've read it at least 10 times, and I continue to look all over it, you know, here and there, reading parts of it. It is the most incredible book I've ever read. It will make you believe, because the author, he's such a funny guy. He since passed away, I think, back in 18. Michael Desmarquette, abducted from his home in Australia. And he was taken aboard their spaceship. I've talked about it before in other radio shows, but let me just pick out a part of the book to read to you, and then I can talk about it. And let me read to you when he was he'd spent 10 days there, and then the night before he was going to be brought back home, they were sitting there. I got to find it here. That's way back here. Postscript. That's not it. I've been singing. I'm going to be joining our choir again tomorrow, since the first time since March. The praise team at our gospel service at Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. And I've told you before, I'm a karaoke king. I say that humbly, my friends. I know over 100 songs, and it's always been a challenge for me to determine the right way of holding the microphone, the left hand, the right hand, on a microphone stand. Some people, like Shania Twain, if you ever watch her in concert live, she flips the microphone from one hand to the other. Other people just use the left, just use the right. Aretha Franklin, she used to use it in her left hand. Other people, famous people, just in their right hand. But I submit to you that a singer is not a truly accomplished singer unless they use a microphone equally in both hands. That is the major challenge, and I have found a way where I can do that. I mentioned to you before on previous shows that I've been singing for the Wounded Warriors on Fort Sam Houston at the Warrior and Family Support Center since 2013. I go there for lunchtime. They usually have someone that comes and sets up lunch for the Wounded Warriors. And I'll set up my equipment at about 11:30, and then I'll sing for an hour or an hour and a half. And I've got a repertoire of songs, over 100 of them. Songs that are oriented towards God, nature, love. And I've been through it all, you know, in front of many people there singing. One of the best things I've done in my life is that. But it's always challenged me, always made me think, what is the right way to do it? So what I do is, with all the songs I sing, I'll sing one song holding the microphone with my right hand. Next song, I'll hold it with my left. And then the next song with my right. And the following song with my left, and so on. That way I get my arms an equal workout, so to speak. My lungs an equal workout. And it's great. I think that's it. That's the key. I found it. And I practice all the time here in my patio today. I got a feeling that I try to keep the noise down, you know. I've got my speakers. I try to keep it down so it's not too loud. And I don't go for very long, maybe 30 minutes or so at a time. And the microphone, that's about the same volume as my speakers. Anyway, so I'm going to church tomorrow, and I'll be rocking the microphone there. And I've got four songs to learn. One I already know, so we'll be there. And they stream it live through Facebook, so that'll be kind of fun. Going back there since March. We did get back together, I think it was a month or two ago. We had a funeral. One of our choir members' husbands passed away. And we got together and sang a song in front of the congregation, and that was good to be back together singing again. So let me, I was going to find this really cool passage. And it says, last night on the planet, so, you know, I agree with Joe Biden, while I'm finding this, that eventually we do need to get rid of oil, you know, because it is polluting our atmosphere, and we don't want to lose our planet, you know what I mean? And that oil that we extract from the ground has a purpose, and that is to lubricate the tectonic plates. There's plenty of other energy out there we can use. I'm sorry that people are going to lose some jobs because of the oil industry, but what's more important? The oil industry or the future of our planet? That's what it comes down to, my friends. Are you going to watch Saturday Night Live tonight? I've been watching Saturday Night Live the last few weeks. It is so funny. I'm trying to find it. Because it's really interesting. I want to read it to you. I should have been able to find it by now, because I know this book inside and out. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my time, isn't it? I pay for it. Many thanks to BBS Radio, by the way. A shout out to them for all they're doing. I know they've got a lot of wonderful, beautiful people that have shows. If you're listening to my show, I hope you are. Listen to some of the other shows and get your own. Actually, that was kind of a stupid thing to say. Well, not stupid, but of course you're listening. You're out there. But get your own show. It's worth it. It's fun to talk for an hour. You can talk about anything that you're passionate about. Okay, I'm still trying to find this. Coming back, boom. Okay, here it is. I found it. They were sitting in the Doko, which is like an egg-shaped building where all of their homes on the planet Tai'uba look like eggs, half eggs, above the ground, white. And so he's with these extraterrestrials that just been with him for 10 days, almost 10 days. They showed him their planet. He's done many things. He's gone back in time to see a civilization that existed in the Pacific Ocean thousands of years ago. He's seen cataclysms. He's talked with some of these people on the planet, gone around and looked at the beauty of their planet, was told many wonderful things, great information about our past and our future. So he's going back the next day. And he says, I was not feeling very hungry. I'd taken off my mask and was beginning to feel more like myself again because he had to wear a mask with the brightness of their planet. It's very bright. That's the difference between a planet like ours and a planet which is on the upper scale of the evolutionary categories. And everything's more beautiful. The colors are more intense. The light is much brighter. The trees are taller. The animal life doesn't eat each other. Butterflies have like 5 feet wingspans, so their wingspans are huge. All insects are larger. They've got animals like here on Earth. Hippopotamuses, giraffes, cows, horses. Horses that have wings, flying horses. Anyway, so night fell quickly, as it does so on Tai'uba, and we sat in darkness. I remember wondering over the fact that while I could barely distinguish each of them, the extraterrestrials, they could see me easily, as if it were daylight. They could see in the dark, these extraterrestrials, just like cats and dogs. Isn't that amazing? No one spoke. We sat in silence. Looking up, I could see the stars appearing one by one, shining colorfully, as though a firework display had frozen in the sky. On Tai'uba, because the layers of gases in the atmosphere differ from ours, the stars appear to be colored and so much larger than they appear to us on Earth. Suddenly, I broke the silence, asking quite naturally, "Where is Earth?" As if the group had simply been waiting for this question, they all rose together. Latole, one of the ETs, took me in her arms. Actually, they're both male and female, but he said her arms. Like a child, then we went outside. The others led the way, and we followed a wide path that led to the beach. There, on the moist sand of the shore, Latole set me down. Minute by minute, the firmament was illuminated by more stars, as though a giant hand was lighting a chandelier. Tayo, one of the other ETs, Tayo, T-H-A-O, approached me and almost whispered in a voice that was sad and one I could hardly recognize as hers. "Do you see those four stars, Michael, just above the horizon? They almost form a square. The one on the top right is green and shinier than the others." "Yes. I think that's it, yes. It forms a square, the green, yes. Now go to the right of the square and slightly higher. You will see two red stars quite close together." "Yes. Keep your eye on the one to the right and go a tiny bit higher. Can you see a tiny white star? It's barely visible." I think so, yes. And so it's left a little higher, and on its left a little higher is a tiny yellow one. Yes, that's right. The tiny white one is the sun, which lights up the planet Earth. So where is Earth? Invisible from here, Michael. We are too far away. I remain there staring at the minuscule star that seems so insignificant in a sky filled with large colored jewels. That minuscule star, however, was perhaps at that very moment warming my family in my home, making plants germinate and grow. My family, the word seems so strange, Australia. From this perspective, I had trouble imagining it to be larger, to be the largest island on my planet. Especially when even Earth was invisible to the naked eye. Yet, I've been told we belong to the same galaxy, and the universe comprised thousands of galaxies. Where were we, poor human bodies, hardly much more than an atom? So that's reading from the book. I've got just a few more minutes left. I think I'll walk out here in my backyard. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Something that I've seen. I've been noticing some lights in the sky flashing at me. What look like meteorites coming across the sky. And then I'll see a light flash over in the distance, as if they're trying to tell me something. One thing I did mention to you before is that I believe that there might be an asteroid coming to Earth sometime in the future. I don't know, many years down the road, perhaps. But it's something that's a possibility, you have to admit, because it has happened before in the past, and just because our astronomers and scientists are tracking them doesn't mean there isn't one coming towards Earth. You know, that's logical. It could happen. And if it does, and you get one that's very large in size, perhaps 100 miles wide, traveling at 40,000 miles an hour, if it made impact, it would stop the Earth rotating on its axis very easily. And then when the Earth stops rotating on its axis, then earthquakes break out all over the planet. Volcanoes explode, spewing ash into the atmosphere, blocking out the sunlight. Storms form, winds in excess of 300 miles an hour. Not very many people would survive that. But that's the way we are, we human beings. We don't really think too much about stuff like that. It's not a pleasant thought, but still, it's a good thought to think if you want to be grateful for living each and every day, you know. Just like the song I sang before, I just want to celebrate another day of living. Besides celebrating Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, it's good to celebrate another day of life. I remember that last verse, don't have any time for sorrow, no time for hate. Winning and losing will do that. And I'm guilty, you know. I get involved in that winning and losing process, if you will. And it's no fun to lose. It's more fun to win. But as human beings on this planet evolving, there's so much more than competition, you know. Cooperation, living in harmony, helping each other. Maybe doing away, I know it sounds far-fetched, but doing away with a monetary system. Imagine giving things to people just out of the generosity, from the generosity of your heart. You need some food? Get some food. You want some goods? What do you have in exchange? You know, let's trade some stuff. What do you have that I need? I think that way you wouldn't have a lot of people who go without. You know, no homeless people, no people dying of starvation or in poverty, you know, sharing. A monetary system doesn't really take care of everybody, and so it's flawed in that way. I'm sorry to say that, but it's just the way it is in a lower evolutionary planet, you know. But still rejoice that there is a creator. The creator is in control, can do anything. The creator has the power to do anything. The knowledge. Oh, such intelligence. My friends, imagine the intelligence it takes to create an apple seed or an ant, even just a little ant, which has its place in the ecological system, you know, with eyes and antenna and legs and a body that reproduces. And
about 30 seconds, my friend.
The creator is wonderful. I've got 30 seconds. So I hope you all have a safe and enjoyable week until next Saturday when I will talk with you again. The creator of the universe loves you because you are his children. I love you too. So take good care, and may the creator bless you and help you in any way you need it. Bye-bye.